Would you join me in prayer? Father, we thank you that we can know things, that we are in your hands through this great sacrifice, Jesus Christ, Son of God, coming to this earth to make a way for sinful man, that we might live for you and with you forever. What a blessing, Lord. Help us to redeem the time, to buy all the opportunities in our vapor-like existence. Father, the moments that we have that can impact eternity to your honor and your glory, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. David, the right man in the right place at the right time. God had prepared David for this grand moment in history by teaching David to be faithful to him in the obscurity of everyday life. David knew the greatness of God because he was faithful to God in the little things of life. David, go feed the sheep. Okay. David, stay behind while Samuel chooses one of your brothers to be the next king of Israel. Okay. David, stay behind and watch the sheep while your brothers go off to war. Okay. David, run this errand. Okay. David, run that errand. Okay. David, go kill the giant who is defying the armies of the living God. Okay. See, David didn't learn about the greatness and power of God that day in the valley facing the giant. He had learned those things in faithful obscurity on the grassy hills outside of Bethlehem, watching his father's sheep. David knew God is God. That is how he faced the giant. David had already learned, for instance, that the battle is the Lord's, that the victory is the Lord's, that the only plans that matter, the only plans that stand, are the Lord's. His greatest weapon was his full and complete trust in the Lord. David knew God is God, and that has not changed. 30 centuries later, still true. God is God. Our greatest weapon against the darkness, our greatest weapon against the schemes of the enemy, is our complete trust in God to be God. That is our reality. The giant spewed his terrifying threats, and they were terrifying. And then David spoke, rather matter-of-factly, it seems. Today, the Lord will conquer you, and I will kill you and cut off your head. And then I will give the dead bodies of your men to the birds and wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. Today I am asking, do we know that the battle is the Lord's? Would you turn with me to 1 Samuel 17? 1 Samuel 17. Know that the challenge is real. Verse 1, the Philistines had their army together. Verse 2, 1 Samuel 17, the men of Israel, they gathered their army together. Verse 4 says, Goliath of Gath came out. Stan, I'm ready for you. Can you come help me out? I want to give you just a little picture of what David was facing. Now, I called Stan this morning and I said, Stan, can you, okay, go ahead and laugh at me. Yeah. I said, can you reach a 10-foot ceiling? Well, no, I can reach 8-foot. So we're trying to get, because see, here, when it gives these measurements, a lot of people believe that Goliath was easily 9 feet 9 inches tall. It varies a little bit, but easily 9 feet 9 inches tall. So I asked Stan, he had the idea to stand up there because here he could hold his hand up. That's only about 8 feet. See, that's still not 9 feet 9 inches tall. The armor, so there's Goliath. There's about the height of Goliath. Okay, the armor of Goliath weighed 125 pounds. Now, Goliath wasn't just a big guy. He was strong. He was a warrior. He had been killing people for years in battle. See, because there are big guys, but they're not strong. But that's not Goliath. Goliath is over 9 feet tall. He is skilled in warfare and hand-to-hand combat. He is strong. I couldn't carry his armor around, 125 pounds. Just the tip of his spear weighed 15 pounds. Now, it comes to this part where I'd like to tell you that David's a little guy like me. This was my favorite Bible story, of course, growing up and Dad reading. But David probably was fairly good size himself. Now, we don't know that for sure, but just some background on that. And give you one for instance. When he tried Saul's armor on, first of all, when Saul suggested, because Saul was what? Head and shoulders above everybody else. So even Saul suggesting that David could wear his armor, if Saul would have taken one look at me and he'd have thought, well, maybe you could wear my armor. Well, no, I don't think so, little buddy. So David was at least somewhat comparable to the size of Saul, very possibly. David was a strong man. He was a young man. He was a faithful servant. He was a shepherd. He did what his father wanted him to do. It seemed like he was the youngest of eight brothers. It seemed like he always took a back seat. God was always there preparing him. So he goes out, and this is what we want you to understand. The threat was real. Picture that tall, fully armored, 125 pounds of armor, a spear that just the end of it weighs 15 pounds, probably a huge sword. And David's going to go out. He's going to go to the stream, and he's going to take five rocks out in a slingshot. You guys ever use a slingshot? Pretty cool, aren't they? David could have showed us a thing or two. He was really good with his sling. Thanks, Stan. The threat is real. As we look at threats, thank you. As we look at threats out here, and as we're looking at this study, and we're looking at facing the darkness, and we're looking at confronting the enemy, and we have all of this stuff going on in government and in the judicial system, we never, ever say there's not a threat. Gerald helped us to see this morning in Sunday school that he was coming back to my message a couple of weeks ago, being sent a sheep in the midst of wolves. There is danger. We're never saying there's not danger. We are never saying there's not darkness. The giants are real. We want to make sure that we understand that. Know that the challenge is real. Secondly, this morning, verses 12 to 18, we're not going to read all that, but be true, be faithful and true in the common and the ordinary. Be faithful and true in the common and ordinary. And David, well, I'll just read a little bit. David, son of an Ephrathite, he was the youngest of eight sons. He just did what he told. Verse 15, David went back and forth from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. David's dad told him, he says, take this grain, take this bread to your brothers. Check on them, see how they're doing. Oh, by the way, take this cheese to the their commander of 1,000. David just did what he was told. See, what we want to understand is it's this great climactic moment. You have on one mountainside, you have the Philistines, or as Dad used to read it, the Philistines, which kind of makes sense because it was the Philistia was the country. But the Philistines on one mountainside, the Israelites encamped on the other side. The Philistines, more of an organized army, that at this point in time, the Israelites were more like a gathered militia. And this giant, see, I can't reach that high. I can't reach 9 feet. Came out fully armored, and he challenged them every day. This wasn't just something then when David faced that challenge. It just came on upon him at that moment. No, he was prepared. You're going to read a little bit. Well, let's just move into it. We'll just keep moving along here. Don't focus on the giant, verses 19 to 24. The armies came out, and they're shouting their battle cries, and boy, they're doing all their saber rattling and all this, and they're coming out, and they're, you know, battle on both sides, and the Israelites are, oh, we're all ready to, and the other armies over there, and they're, and then the Israelites are all gung-ho until the giant comes out and starts yelling at them. And what did it say? They're all in fear. All of them in fear. Now, I couldn't determine the number of Saul's army here. Minimum, it had to be hundreds. It was probably thousands. At one time, Saul had mustered 300,000 men in one of the battles back about maybe 1 Samuel 11. But probably thousands anyway. And just the giant comes out, and they shrink back. They shrink back in fear. Don't focus on the giant. Keep our motivation pure, verses 25 to 31. David had asked the question, so what's going on here? What'll the king do to the person that takes care of this giant? And his brother challenged him, and he said, you're just disobedient. He said, you're just a rebellious young man. He said, you should be back there watching that pitiful little flock, and you're out here, you just want to see the action. But that wasn't true. You say, God told David to do this, he did this. Now, a lot of times, God was telling David to do things through his father because David honored his father. David, go do this. Okay. David, go watch the sheep. Okay. David, you wait here and watch the sheep. Samuel's coming. See, if you remember that story that Samuel said, I'm going to come, one of your sons. Well, they didn't even invite David. He's back there in obscurity. He didn't get invited to go off to war. The three oldest brothers did. But he kept faithfully doing. His motivation was pure. See, that's one of our problems. We have in Ephesians, it talks about the spiritual weaponry that we have. And we have the belt of truth, and we have the breastplate of righteousness. And that breastplate of righteousness, and we are doing the right things. It may be an obscurity, because if you're not doing, in Luke 16:10, you've got that marked as a cross-reference on there. Faithful in little, you'll be faithful in much. If you're not faithful in little, when the big moment comes, you will not be faithful. You may shout and carry on battle cries. You may talk a lot. You may be loud and boisterous, but you will not have the courage to fight God's battle, to be God's stand-in in this moment of truth. But David's motivation was pure. His brother could accuse him all he wanted, but his motivation was pure. The fifth thing, trust God. All these are on your study sheets too. Trust God to face the challenge at hand. Now we are going to read these verses. Well, we're going to back up just a little bit to verse 31. When the words that David spoke were heard, this is 1 Samuel 17:31. They repeated them before Saul, and he sent for them. David had just asked, what's going on here? Okay, Saul heard this. Hey, there's somebody asking about taking care of this giant. So he was sent to Saul. Verse 32, David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And Saul said to David, you are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are but a youth, and he has been a man of war from youth. But David said to Saul, your servant used to keep sheep for his father. And when there came a lion or a bear and took a lamb from the flock, I went after him and struck him and delivered it out of his mouth. And if he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and struck him and killed him. See, David, again, in obscurity. No one was out there watching David, but his duty was to protect the sheep. So the bear came, David took care of the bear. The lion came, David took care of the lion. The giant comes, David would take care of the giant. I went after him, struck him, delivered it out from his mouth, and if he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and struck him and killed him. Your servant has struck down both lions and bears, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be like one of them, for he has defied the armies of the living God. And David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said to David, go, and the Lord be with you. We have to trust David. We have to trust David. No, we don't trust David. We have to trust God to face the challenge at hand. You see, we let God prepares. We don't understand everything God's doing in our lives, but he's preparing us. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, he's preparing you for his service. And there will come a time when he will call you to something probably greater than what you thought that you could do. And you will be ready for it. We trust God to face the challenge at hand. So it doesn't matter if it's a lion. It doesn't matter if it's a bear, a giant, or even a politician. The battle is the Lord's. The victory is the Lord's. The only plans that matter, the only plans that stand, are the Lord's. I would greatly encourage you in your study sheet, probably not now read them, but on the inside, all these verses I have, trust God, the Word of God, our God, read those. So encouraging to see how specifically the Bible states these truths. The battle is God's. The victory is God's. Just these powerful, powerful verses that we're not going to look at them now. I would strongly encourage you to read them later. We can face the challenge at hand. See, you'll notice that I didn't title this message David versus Goliath, did I? I wasn't trying to be cute. I wasn't trying to be clever. But really, when you think about it, who was the battle against? Was it David versus Goliath? No, it was God. See, it's always God's battle, folks. We forget that, don't we? And we get real frustrated, and we can get very angry and bitter and resentful because we're trying to work things out and battle with our strength, and we have only our perspective, and we forget God is God. 30 centuries ago, he's God. He's still God today. This isn't just a Sunday school story. If you think this is just a Sunday school story, or something that you tell the kids, and you might as well just close up your Bible and forget about it. This happened on a hill, in a valley rather, between two mountains, between the ancient countries of Israel and Philistia. This played out. And this young man, yes, he wasn't little like me and weak like me, but he was a young man, he was a shepherd, but he was a faithful servant of God. God was going to take care of the giant. He just needed somebody to throw the rock. Let's get to that part. In verse 38. Then Saul clothed David with his armor. He put a helmet of bronze on his head and clothed him with a coat of mail. And David strapped his sword over his armor, and he tried in vain to go, for he had not tested them. Then David said to Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not tested them. So David put them off. Then he took his staff in hand. Now picture this. The giant is over 9 feet tall. He's got armor that weighs 125 pounds. Just the end of his spear weighs 15 pounds. What's David take? He takes what he stays true to himself. He stays true to who he is. What does he take in his battle? He takes his staff in his hand. He went down to the creek and he got 5 rocks. He went down to the stream and he got 5 smooth stones. These guys here, they say they like slingshots. The slingshots are pretty cool, and I think David could have really showed us a thing or two. This was deadly. This was a deadly weapon he had. He put them in his shepherd's pouch. His sling was in his hand, and he approached the Philistine, the giant. Now we're getting down to business, aren't we? See, we stay true to ourselves. Verses 38 to 40. With next, we stay true to God. Verses 41 to 51. Now the battle. And the Philistine moved forward and came near to David with his shield bearer in front of him. And when the Philistine looked and saw David, he disdained him. He would be like, are you kidding me? You are the one they're going to send against me? For he was but a youth, ruddy and handsome in appearance. David wasn't a little boy, he was a young man. Those little pictures that we have in our Sunday school material sometimes, that's kind of nice, but that isn't who David. He was a young man. The Philistine said to David, am I a dog? He said, you're insulting me. Send this young man out here. Am I a dog that you come out to me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. Boy, I'm glad they didn't put that text in the Bible. I would probably have a really hard time reading that this morning. The Philistine said to David, can we just rewind about 3,000 years? And you're observing this. There's army over here on the mountainside, army over here on the mountainside, over 9 foot tall, heavily armed giant. And he's looking at David, the shepherd, the servant of God. And he says, come to me and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and to the beasts of the field. He said, I'm going to rip you apart, sonny boy. And I'm going to throw you out here on the ground, and the birds are going to eat you, and the dogs are going to come, and they're going to eat you. Well, now David's shaking in his sandals, right? Ain't no way, Jose. David said to the Philistine, again, now why does David have this courage? It's more than courage. It's a courage, but it's courage because of his perspective. See, David knows who God is. David knows what the battle's about. This isn't David's battle. See, we get out sometimes in our battles and we don't have the spiritual courage in the inside. This isn't David's battle. David knew it's God's battle. The strength that he drew from that insight and perspective. Let me find my place. Okay. Verse 45, David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword and a spear and a javelin. Oh, I left out a couple things earlier. I said David had a staff, and he had a slingshot, and he had 5 rocks. Well, he had a little more. This verse is going to tell us about it. But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you down and cut off your head. Can you imagine the giant standing there? He said, what is with this guy? I'm Goliath, ferocious, bloodthirsty warrior. I'm fully dressed in my armor. I've got a sword. I've got a huge spear. Who does this guy think he is? Well, he's just David, but he's the servant God Most High, sovereign ruler over all. Find my place again. This day, okay, I'll start verse 46. The Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you down and cut off your head, and I will give the dead bodies of the host of the Philistines this day to the birds of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and that all this assembly may know that the Lord saves not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hand. You guys, Keegan, you and Blaine, ready for this now? Now the action's getting ready. Here we go. When the Philistine arose, here's the giant, he's lifting up, and he came and he started coming toward David. David didn't wait for him. David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag and took out a stone and slung it and struck the Philistine on his forehead. The stone sank into his forehead and he fell on his face to the ground. Down. Now he's not 9 foot tall anymore. Now he's not spewing out murderous threats and cursing David by his false god. Now he's down because the God of all, sovereign Lord of the universe, the victory is his, the battle is his, the battlefield is his. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone, and struck the Philistine and killed him. There was no sword in the hand of David. Then David ran and stood over the Philistine, and took his sword and drew it out of its sheath, and killed him and cut off his head with it. When the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. Who won the battle? Who did God use? Who was his stand-in? One man who fully trusted the Lord. Ladies, we're not going to leave you out of this either, because he needs women who fully this isn't just a guy thing. Women fully committed to the Lord. How many, at least hundreds, were on that mountainside and they were shaking in fear and they didn't know what to do? Maybe there were thousands there that the giant came out, they were shouting, rah, 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 and then the giant came out and they ran and shook in fear. Did none of them know that God is God? They were prepared. They had swords, they had spears, they had armor. David had a staff. And he had five rocks and a slingshot. But he knew that the battle is the Lord. David knew who owned the battlefield. We read all the newspaper headlines. We see all the media coming in. Whether you get your news over online, or if you get it on the Today Show, or if you get it over the radio, and we see all of these things coming in. We see the threat of literal wars. We hear how many refugees, how many people, and our hearts break for how many people are fleeing their countries because of the war and the devastation. The threat is real. The danger is real. But what we must never forget, who owns the battlefield? The battle is the Lord's. Is anyone going to topple the sovereign Lord of the universe? Is there any wave of power that's going to come? Any swelling on social media, the popular opinion that's going to bring down God? Any legislation that can be passed? No, 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 and no. The battle is the Lord's. The victory is the Lord. Let me just read. I mentioned these powerful verses. God's plans stand. Middle there, if you want to look it on your study sheet, you can or you can't. The Lord of hosts has sworn, as I have planned, so shall it be. And as I have purposed, so shall it stand. O stubborn children, declares the Lord, who carry out a plan but not mine, and who make an alliance but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin. The Lord frustrates the plans of the nations and thwarts all their schemes. But the Lord's plans stand firm forever. His intentions can never be shaken. Many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand. We need to believe that, folks. And we need to live like we believe that. We need women of God who believe that God is God and live like that. We need men who will be fully committed. And we will not shake in fear, even though the mountains tremble and might fall into the ocean, or a Democrat comes again into the presidency, or whatever judicial ruling. We will not fear the darkness, because God is over the darkness also. Do we believe that? I didn't hear any amen. Do we believe it? That's better. I knew you did. You too. So glad to have you here today. I'm going to go to that football game. That's okay. It's old. It's like me. Every now and then something falls apart. I'm going to go to that football game if I can this afternoon. I plan on being there. So number 32, number 35. Or was that reversed? 32 and 35. All right. We're going to get out of here in just a minute. That sound pretty good? Yeah. We got a couple more things to do, but yeah, we're getting close. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Lord, your word, clear, true, powerful. What did we hear, Father? Ella told us that we listen to God no matter what. What good words. We listen to you, Father, no matter what. No matter the twisted message of false religions, no matter the political atmosphere, the economy, no matter wars and rumors of war, we listen to God no matter what. And we know you in your greatness and your power. And we stand in courage and we stand with spiritual insight and perspective that belongs to those of us who know your gift of eternal life. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.